Welcome to Jersey Guys Sports, your sports talk home for the Yanks, the Giants, the Rangers, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And I'm your host, Don. I want to thank you for listening. Today I'm going to be talking about a little bit about Rutgers football, some odds and ends, season starting soon, and also the Yanks, who are basically just an average baseball team after getting off to such a great start. So let's go ahead and get started. So if you're like me, you're very excited to have some college football back on the horizon. There was a couple games last week, and the college football season gets into full swing, full tilt this upcoming weekend, and it's very exciting because there's almost nothing as exciting as college football in my mind. So this is great stuff, great stuff. Rutgers is set to open up its third season under Greg Schiano. And Rutgers will be going up against Boston College on the road Saturday, September 3rd, which is going to be a tough, tough challenge. Boston College is also an up-and-coming team. They have a very good offense and a quarterback who will probably get drafted soon. And it's going to be a big challenge for Schiano. Not only are they an up-and-coming team, but they also recruit from the same area that Greg Schiano and Rutgers recruits from. So there's some players back and forth that recruited, I'm sure, by both coaches. Some went to Rutgers, some went to Boston College. So this should be an interesting matchup. It's an unfortunate one. I would like to see Rutgers get started against somewhat of a lesser team, but it certainly will be a good challenge. It is a winnable game, although I don't think it will end up on our side. I guess time will tell. I will be pleasantly surprised if we come out with a win this Saturday. Schiano actually has not announced the starting quarterback yet, which is a big, big part of this season. I would expect Noah Vedral to actually get the start. I don't think it should be Noah, but Geno very, very much values experience at the quarterback position. And I think Wimsatt is still just too young. You know, he got a few series and a few games under his belt last year, but Wimsatt is still so super young at this point. He does have four more years of eligibility, Wimsatt does, including this year. What I expect, and we'll see, is that Noah Vedral will be the starting quarterback. Wimsatt will come in for some series. I never like that. I don't think it's good for the long-term stability of the program to keep doing this with quarterbacks. I would just like to see Wimsatt in, take his lumps, and keep going. But Schiano is probably going to feel like Vedral gives the team the best chance to win against Boston College, and that's what he'll say after the game. He's not announcing who's starting at this point. There's definitely some excitement in the air, though, for Rutgers, and it should be interesting to see how this particular class does. This 2022 recruiting class was a big one for Schiano. We heard all about it for a year or two, and we have a lot of new linemen coming in, a couple new running backs, some new defensive players. We are short at some of the positions, including linebacker. So I think we might have, you know, a tough challenge ahead of us, especially in the Big Ten, which is just such a tough, tough conference. And our division of the conference is also the toughest. Either the East is nuts in the Big Ten. There's going to need to be some improvements in Rutgers' offensive line, which is terrible. And, you know, we have some big boys coming in and also the defensive line, too. Hopefully, and most importantly, we'll actually have a real quarterback by the end of this year. And, you know, time will tell, and it's very exciting. Rutgers is doing something new with the tailgating, having something called the Rutgers Boardwalk as you walk up to the stadium with all kinds of new entertainment and little rides and different things. So it should be exciting. The excitement is up, and I'm pretty excited to get Rutgers football started. I'm looking forward to see how the team does this year. What I want to see is Rutgers being competitive each and every week against every team. We don't have to win. I'm not looking for, you know, some great record this year. What I'm looking for is a general upgrade in the team's competitiveness. I don't want to see 52-3 games, right? Now, if we lose, you know, and you lose 34-20 or something to a very good team, then that's what you lose, right? If you lose, you know, 21-7, you lose 21-7 to a good team, right? I do not want to see 49-14 games, things like that. Again, we're going to see a few of them this year, but I'd like to see more of the competitive style football, and then we'll see how it goes from there. So let's go ahead and move on to the Yankees. Oh, the New York Yankees. What to say about my Yankees? After what was, I guess, a tremendous start to this 2022 season. The Yankees are simply an average baseball team, and I say that generously, that they're average. The Yankees, to be clear, started out 44-16, which is absolutely tremendous. That's almost 30 games over 500 in the first 60 games. That's nuts. 44-16. And I think that's what people remember. Because right now, since then, they've only gone 34-35. So in their last 69 games, they are an under 500 baseball team. The Yankees are below 500 for their last 69 games. So this is not a little bump in the road. It's not the dog days of summer problem. This is a team that's been below 500 for 2.5 friggin' months now. Months. They're 20-30 over the last 50 games. 10 games under 500 in 50 games, almost 2 months. That is just a disaster. So in short, this Yankee team is not very good. This is after getting off to what is a tremendous, almost unheard of start. And while Aaron Judge is having really a season to remember, an incredible, unbelievable season, it's hard to be positive really about anything else when you're looking at the Yanks, you know, this season, at least to this point. And it's a shame too, right? Yanks were having what seemed like a magical season well into June, right? And then the wheels just came off the bus. You know, initially you might remember comparisons were somehow allowed to be made to that great 1998 Yankee team, you know, because this year's team had such a great record. But the comparisons were silly anyway. I mean, it was a joke. This team was basically a house of cards from the start. And if you listen to some of the older podcasts from when it was happening, you've heard me say that as well. Not that this team was going to be terrible, but that, you know, the comparisons to that older team were a joke. However, there are some clear improvements from this team in 2022 over the 2021 team, last year's team. It's not all negative. There are some improvements. Let's face it, Trevino at catcher is a monumental improvement over that sad sack of shit Gary Sanchez, right? Both defensively and at the plate, Trevino is superior in every way. And by the way, he can run surprisingly well for a catcher, which always cracks me up when I see him run, steal bases, stretch singles into doubles, scoring from second on a single. Trevino's really good, really interesting, and that was a good pickup. Benintendi is a great addition and makes the outfield way better than if we have to have Hicks out there playing somewhere. Benintendi also hits maybe 150 points higher in batting average than our previous left fielder, Joey Gallo. So there's an upgrade there. We have this rookie, Oswaldo Cabrera. He was recently called up, and he's just been spectacular. I mean, he's really a joy to watch, just a breath of fresh air. He's made a number of just outstanding defensive plays, which you probably saw. You know, in right field, he jumped over the fence and robbed some dude of a homer. Another play, he ran in a single, threw a runner out at the plate. He played third base, made a diving catch into the seats. He's also starting to hit really well now, right? And he runs well. And honestly, just his youth and his energy is desperately needed on this business-like, buttoned-up friggin' Yankee team. Cabrera is just a fun and exciting person, and it's infectious to the team and also really to the fans who crave some kind of excitement when watching this dreary Yankees team, especially when they're losing night after night. He's just a fun kid, Cabrera. I hope he stays up here, and I hope the Yankees keep using him because he's great, and he's a switch hitter, by the way. But, you know, other than those things, however, there's so many negatives, right? The entire pitching staff and the rest of the team has mostly been poor outside of, say, DJ and Judge. Nestor Cortes has been super reliable, but now he's on the IL. Cole has been utterly unreliable. Tyone has been bad. Severino is still hurt. Domingo Herman, he's been pretty good, surprisingly. Montas sucks big balls so far, our wonderful trade deadline pickup by Cashman. On top of that, the entire bullpen has been a friggin' train wreck in the last 3 months. And I mean a train wreck. Just, I don't even know what to say about it. It's just, it's like impossibly bad between injuries and just poor performance. The bullpen's a disaster. Chapman at this point barely has a spot on the roster. It's an actual real question whether Chapman will be on the postseason roster. That is how bad he's been. He's lost all control of his pitches and he routinely gets pounded when he goes out there to pitch. And the worst part of all this is that the pitching has not really been the problem for the most part over the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's been the hitting. The hitting has been fairly awful most of that time. It seems like the entire team somehow manages to go into a slump at the same time, concurrently, or maybe they get hurt and go into a slump at exactly the same time. And this isn't the first year this happened, by the way, but it's very pronounced this year, particularly when they got off to such a great start. Because, you know, you just look really quickly at Stanton, right? He's batting, what is it, 225 now. Gleyber Torres is lucky if he can see the baseball when he's at the plate anymore. He's hitting awfully. Donaldson is a 220 hitter, and just he looks like he swings like a half an hour late to fastballs nowadays. Hicks doesn't even have a job. He's hitting so awfully and also can't find the ball when he's in center field. I actually love Rizzo, but he's down to like 230 or so hitting. IKF is doing okay. He's still hitting around 265, as is Trevino. But this team gets shut down by some of the worst pitchers in baseball recently. Against the A's, two of the league's worst pitchers shut down the Yanks completely. Two nights in a row. One of them, we got one entire friggin' hit in 11 innings. I mean, what a joke. When we lost King at the bullpen, that was kind of a devastating blow to the bullpen. Losing Chad Green might have actually helped the bullpen, honestly. But, you know, losing King was a terrible loss. Britton has been out since last year. Who knows? He might be back before the year ends, but who the hell knows at this point? Severino from the starting rotation, maybe back mid-September. Who knows how he's going to be? Chapman, suck balls. Then he was on the IL, and now he's out again with some kind of fucking tattoo infection. He got a tattoo on his leg in the middle of the season. Just what the fuck? Who does this in the middle of the season? Cortez is on the IL now. DJ had some toe injury. Stanton just back, by the way. He's only in 225, but he's just back after he missed, what, 30 games, 40 games? I don't know. Ridiculous. Typical Stanton. You know, Holmes, he was bad. Then he was on the IL. Luizaga was on the IL for a long time. That was after he was bad. Our side armor, one of our trade deadline acquisitions, this rookie side armor, Emros, I think his name is, he's on the IL now because, yeah, of course he is. Meanwhile, you know, the normal Higgy still sucks. Hicks still can't play the outfield. And we can't hit with runners in scoring position, right? So it's just like saying the sky is blue. What happened at the trade deadline is Cashman missed out on Castillo, the great starting pitcher that was missed, basically, who's already beaten the Yanks 2 or 3 times since the trade deadline. Montas is who we got instead, and he has just sucked balls since he joined the Yanks. Just a giant suck fest of pitching is what Montas has been. We needed an ace. We got nothing. Between, I don't know, to try to sum this all up and end this, between the injuries and the poor play, the Yankees simply do not have a team that they thought they did earlier in the year. The dreams of some super season, they're gone. The Yanks are still firmly in first place, by the way, as we head into September here in the East. For now, but they are losing that lead bit by bit, game by game, every single day. And I wouldn't be surprised if they choked it all away, unfortunately. I mean, we can hope for a miracle because, you know, maybe Bader comes back, you know, and Severino and Britton all come back in September and start dominating and the rest of the team does a 180 and the team all of a sudden succeeds. Maybe, you know, maybe I'll just play the lottery instead. There's better chances of that. In any case, I want to thank you for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. Please subscribe to the podcast, tell your friends all about it, and I'll be back soon with some more sports talk. Thanks, and have a good day.